It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It's part two of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by BetOnline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast. Best odds, fast payouts. We're talking late games. We're talking Sunday night. And we're talking two, count them, two games on Monday, which reminds me, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to each and every one of you. We love you guys. We really appreciate that you listen. And hopefully you guys like what we provide for you as well. He, of course, Evan Silva, most of you know that. You should definitely check him out over at rotoworld.com or at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. You can get all of the other Ross Tucker podcasts, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money for Gambling, College Draft. If you're into the draft or college football at all, even any of them, they're all over at RossTucker.com, and the Twitter handle for that channel at RTF Podcast for all of the RT Media shows. Evan's going to drop even more knowledge on you in about a minute. So in the meantime, here's what you should be thinking about. I should get the draft app on my phone if I don't already. If I already have the draft app on my phone, I should actually play if I haven't yet. And if I use the code FEAST, I can play for free with my first deposit. I just have to use that promo code, FEAST. Again, you get to play in a real money snake draft. It can be NBA for tonight if you want, NFL, whatever, for free just by using the promo code FEAST. It gets even better because they're so sure you'll love it that they're offering you guys a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST. All right, Evan, part two. Let's get it going with the Jags. Blake Bortles. So I'm assuming you're starting Jadon Mickens and Keelan Cole in every league, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just Jaguars onslaught, you know, Jadon Mickens and Keelan Cole and Bortles all together. I think that Keelan Cole is in play. I think that Jadon Mickens is a fluke. I watched the game. I know he played well, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he doesn't really check any box as it pertains to this game. And I wouldn't even be entirely sure that he is going to get a ton of playing time. First of all, if Allen Hurns, what happened with Jadon Mickens last week? So Marquise Lee, you know, obviously Allen Hurns is out. Marquise Lee leaves with a very early ankle injury, and that bumps Jadon Mickens into the slot. Jadon Mickens, usually the Jaguars' punt returner, pretty good punt returner. So he ends up playing slot. Keelan Cole still is in the slot sometimes, but he's, you know, more of an outside receiver than usual. Dede Westbrook is purely an outside receiver. But that becomes the three receiver set. Jadon Mickens catches a couple of easy red zone touchdowns and did have a big gain. But I think that that is not a situation to chase. I do think that Keelan Cole has a chance to be real. I remember he caught your eye in a particular game earlier in the season. He has flashed, no question, at times this year. He's actually got a touchdown now in three straight games. It's just he hasn't been getting a lot of targets, but all of a sudden last week he did get a good amount of targets, and he was able to capitalize with them. Blake Bortles also deserves a lot of credit for this. I mean, he's making a lot of great throws, making difficult throws off his back foot, moving in the pocket. I mean, he had lost confidence in 2016 clearly, and in the first half of 2017, I think that his confidence was still shaky. There's no reason for him to have any confidence concerns anymore. He's been outstanding, and this is not a situation like early in his career where he was actually not that good in the game, but he was good in fantasy. He's actually good in fantasy and in the game at this point as well. So I don't know how we could say that it's not real. Will it continue for, you know, to the point where he becomes a franchise quarterback? I don't know. That's very difficult to say, but I think that it is very much real that Blake Bortles is playing well. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in four straight starts. We know that he is dangerous at times with his legs. 49ers have allowed the 14th most quarterback rushing yards and the second most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks this year. I am starting Blake Bortles in a couple of championship weeks, and I'm feeling very good about it. The Jaguars, so Leonard Fournette was out last week, and the Jaguars said that he would be back this week for sure. Or at least they used NFL Network mouthpieces to say that. So I am going to sort of trust them and assume that what they do with Leonard Fournette is what they usually do, which is when he plays, he's the workhorse. There haven't been any games where they had limitations really on Leonard Fournette this season. He in three of his last four games, he has 23 or more touches. And the 49ers run defense is actually better than people think. They've held running backs over the last 4 weeks to 3.1 yards per carry. But if Leonard Fournette is active, I would expect him to be the high volume workhorse that he has been all season. Marquise Lee, he's not playing this week. I mean, that looked like a severe high ankle sprain. I know that we've heard more positive things through the media, but I mean, we can look at this injury and kind of know that I don't think we're going to see him back before the playoffs. That'll be my prediction. I think the D.D. Westbrook bounces right back after last week. Last week was very disappointing. He was super high owned in daily fantasy. I couldn't believe how high owned he was in daily fantasy. And I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't play him, but I couldn't believe that he was like 60% owned. This week is a bounce back spot for him. He didn't play poorly at all in the game. The box score only shows two targets. He caught both of them, but he actually had four. And on the other two, he drew a holding penalty in the end zone that set up a touchdown for someone else. And then on the fourth target, he drew a pass interference flag down to like the three, and that set up a touchdown. I think it was for Tommy Bohannon, and Tommy friggin' Bohannon scored two touchdowns last week, doing his best Tommy Vardell impression. But D.D. Westbrook, I think, bounces right back against San Francisco. DeAndre Hopkins ripped him a couple weeks ago. Rishard Matthews busted his slump against them last week. I have high expectations for D.D. Westbrook this week. I hope that people don't play him because he, let them down last week. I'm going to play a lot of him this week. We talked about Keelan Cole. We talked about Jaden Mickens. Let's move on to the 49ers. So Jimmy Garoppolo has been fantastic. I don't care that he's not throwing touchdowns. You know, we've already talked about that. We didn't even expect him to score, to throw touchdown, because he doesn't have any red zone targets. Marquise Goodwin, his number one wide receiver, is a 5'8" sprinter. And, his best red zone target is Garrett Celek. And that's why we've been on Robbie Gould. And Robbie Gould scored 24 fantasy points last week. Week-winning Robbie Gould. Not only did he win the week for the 49ers, who are now 3-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, he won a lot of people got a lot of people to the fantasy title week last week. Now, do we stick with these guys against the Jags is the big question, and I am leaning no. I hate to go away from Robbie Gould. I mean, he has been so awesome in fantasy. I mean, he's got like 17 fantasy points in three straight games with Jimmy Garoppolo quarterbacking. But I'm going to assess, what's on the waiver wire this week. I always like quarterbacks in domes. I like quarterbacks that are home or kickers, I'm sorry, kickers that are in domes, kickers that are home favorites. I haven't gotten to that stage of my, you know, I usually do like the kicker thing on Saturday or Sunday, but I'm probably going to be looking for some alternatives. You can't really use Garoppolo against the Jaguars. I mean, no one does well against the Jaguars in fantasy. The only guy who has done well all season was Russell Wilson. And, you know, his came, like almost all of his production came on like three individual plays. Carlos Hyde has 18-plus touches in five of his last six games, but he also has a worrisome matchup. Jaguars have held opposing RBs to 3.6 yards per carry and two rushing touchdowns over the last 7 weeks. Marquise Goodwin, I mean, there are some reasons for optimism, I think, on Marquise Goodwin. He's going to get targets. Jimmy Garoppolo is good. Paul Richardson, T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Lockett. These guys have all had good games against the Jaguars recently. Again, they've come on like mostly specific individual plays, but I think that Marquise Goodwin can have one of those individual plays. I mean, even for as good as Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye are, and they are amazing, I think it's so cool that they both made the Pro Bowl together. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram also did as well, and that's deserved. You know, it shouldn't have been just one guy going. It should have been both of them, and that's what happened. But even, I mean, like Marquise Goodwin is an Olympian, you know, he can get behind these guys. Do I think that Marquise Goodwin is the wide receiver two that he was against the Titans and the Texans and, you know, et cetera? No. But I think he's a riskier wide receiver three, but I definitely wouldn't go, all the way away from him. I think he's still got a shot. We can move on to the next one.
Okay, we're keeping it going here in the late games. We've got the Giants and the Cardinals. Cardinals going back to Drew Stanton. And the Giants passing game got it going against the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, they did. I don't know. You know, I'm leaning toward not predicting that Eli Manning is going to throw for 430 again this week. But I do think that he makes sense as a two-quarterback league play. Whereas last week you may have been, kind of worried about using him against what had been a good Eagles defense in two quarterback leagues. I think you could feel better about that this week. Cardinals have major pass funnel tendencies. They will take away your running game and they will force you to throw the ball. And that is one of the reasons that they've given up a lot of running back receiving production. But then you look at the pass catchers that the Giants have. Where does the ball usually go? It's to Sterling Shepard. Cardinals can't stop slot receivers. I mean, they really, really struggle against these guys. Golden Tate, 10 for 107. Doug Baldwin, 5 for 95. Nelson Aguilar, 4 for 93 and a touchdown. Bruce Ellington, 6 for 63. Cooper Kupp, 4 for 51 and a touchdown. Jamison Crowder, 5 for 51 and a touchdown. Adam Humphreys, 6 catches. You know, Sterling Shepard, this is an awesome spot for him. And then at tight end, you want to attack these teams that blitz a lot, like the Cardinals in the middle of the field. We can get a lot of openings in the middle of the field because instead of, you know, those guys covering people in the middle of the field, they're being sent as rushers. And Evan Ingram can capitalize on that. Evan Ingram, top 5 among NFL tight ends in targets, catches, and yards. Tavarius King and Roger Lewis, they sometimes do some things. I don't think that they're going to do some things this week against Patrick Peterson and Tremont Williams, who has been outstanding, even in his old age, opposite Patrick Peterson. In the running game, the only guy really to look at this point, and I know Orleans Darkwell vultured a goal line touchdown last week, but he's sort of being like pushed onto the back burner. Wayne Gallman has led the backfield in touches in back-to-back weeks. He's not getting big volume. You know, he played 41% of the snaps last week, only saw 14 touches. But he is getting big volume in the passing game. He has 13 catches on 16 targets in the last 2 weeks. Cardinals on the season have given up the 9th most catches in the NFL to running backs. I'm in a league where I may have to use Wayne Gallman. He would be like my second flex in a deeper PPR league, but he is in play this week. I don't like the rushing matchup at all. Cardinals over their last six have held opposing RBs to 3.2 yards per carry. On the other side, not a whole lot. You know, Drew Stanton is back under center for the Cardinals. Blaine Gabbert, put out of his misery, just kept getting worse and worse every game that he was in. Drew Stanton, an inaccurate journeyman, career 52.5% completion rate. He's made three starts over the last two seasons for the Cardinals, quarterback 19, quarterback 16, quarterback 20. Two of those were against the 49ers, so good matchups. You know, he's like a low-end two quarterback league play. Kerwin Williams, the painter, had 17 touches last week, but he had zero passing game involvement again. He lost 10 carries to Elijah Penny, who was more efficient with his carries. the matchup is good, but, you know, we don't really want guys in fantasy that aren't scoring touchdowns and aren't catching passes. You know, they can have an actually good game and still be terrible in fantasy. Like, Kerwin Williams can rush 14 times for 79 yards, great yards per carry, you know, has a bunch of great runs and gets you 7.9 points. Like, that's not. You don't want that. You need more than that. Larry Fitzgerald, so I have, you know, at times doubted Drew Stanton's ability to get him the ball because of Drew Stanton's inaccuracy. But he's gotten the ball to Larry Fitzgerald historically. In Stanton's 2016 and 2017 starts, Larry Fitzgerald had 5 for 70, solid, okay. 10 for 113, we'll take it. 6 for 81 and 2 touchdowns. Love it. So that's good enough for me against a Giants defense that has been getting hurt a lot by slot receivers. We saw Aguilar go 759 and a touchdown last week against them. Jamison Crowder a few weeks ago, 7 for 141 and a touchdown. Cole Beasley went over 50 yards for the first time since last Thanksgiving. Not this Thanksgiving, last Thanksgiving when he faced the Giants. Seth Roberts had 5 catches against him. So sticking with Larry Fitz, Jermaine Gresham was out last week due to an illness. I thought that might elevate Ricky Seals-Jones. Technically, it did. Ricky Seals-Jones saw 6 targets, more than he had in any game so far this year. And he also played 38% of the snaps, more than any game that he had all year. But he only ran 12 routes. So, and that's in line with his prior norms. And now we have a total unknown because we've never seen him play with Drew Stanton. So I want to love Ricky Seals-Jones against the friggin' Giants who don't cover tight ends. But it's hard to do based on his usage. We can move on to the next one.
Okay, let's get to Seattle and Dallas. Seattle's offense did nothing against the Rams D, and the Cowboys offense gets Zeke back. Curious to hear what you have to say about that one.
Yeah, I think that the Seahawks offense bounces right back. Cowboys have allowed multiple touchdown passes to 6 of their last 7 quarterbacks faced. Their pass rush has just gone completely dormant. The Cowboys have 0 sacks in 4 of their last 5 games. Russell Wilson is still the number one fantasy quarterback in the league over the course of the season. Top 10 guy in 8 of his last 9 starts. I think he bounces right back at Jerry World, benefits from playing in the dome. This game can be fun. I like the spots for his pass catchers. Doug Baldwin facing off with a Cowboys defense that has struggled to defend slot receivers all season long. And then Jimmy Graham against a Cowboys defense that has given up the 11th most catches to tight ends. So I think that both of those, I think all that trio rebounds in a major way against the Cowboys. Cowboys have kind of become a pass funnel because they have played good run defense, particularly with Sean Lee back. They've held opposing RBs to 3.6 yards per carry and 0 rushing touchdowns in their last 4. So I'm not really loving Mike Davis this week, but I am loving the Seahawks passing game. I think that they can really, really put up some points here inside the dome. as for, you know, the Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett conundrum, it's just all Paul Richardson for me at this point. You know, you don't feel real good about it, but, you know, he has 33 targets over the last five games. Tyler Lockett only has 16. So Tyler Lockett is the guy if you're going to want to try to throw a dart at one of those guys. The Cowboys, Paul Richardson primarily plays on the outside, and the guys that the Cowboys start at cornerback on the outside, Jordan Lewis and Shadobi Awuzie, those guys are rookies. Awuzie has not played a ton this year. Jordan Lewis has been pretty good this year. Zeke Elliott, so he spent his six-week suspension in Cabo training. Apparently came back so skinny that Dez Bryant said, you know, it made his head look bigger. I like to hear that, because I would say that, you know, one of the things that Ezekiel Elliott has sort of struggled with, I would say, as a young player, is his conditioning at times. I did not think that he looked as explosive as usual early in the year. He still had a bunch of good fantasy games. You know, it doesn't mean that he can't have good fantasy games, especially when he's getting 25 or more touches in six straight games before that suspension. But I think that coming back in great shape, that I like to hear that. And the Seahawks, it wasn't just last week. I mean, it was the week before too. They've given up 5.6 yards per carry and four rushing touchdowns to opposing RBs over the last 2 weeks. So Ezekiel Elliott right back, right away, top five fantasy running back play for week 16. You know, I think that Zeke coming back certainly doesn't hurt Dak. In all likelihood, it does help him. It should increase the versatility and efficiency of the Cowboys' offense. Dak Prescott was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in just one of six games without Ezekiel Elliott. Dak was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in seven of eight games played with Ezekiel Elliott. So I think that Dak Prescott is in that like quarterback 12 to quarterback 16 fringe range. I started him in a league last week and went down in the semifinals. I made another mistake that you know, I'm embarrassed to tell here, but you know, we try to make the best decisions that we can, and then we deal with the results. The Seahawks have been just getting shredded by wide receivers. Nelson Agholor, 7 for 141 and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 10 for 113. Keelan Cole, 3 for 99 and a touchdown. Dede Westbrook, 5 for 81 and a touchdown. Marquise Goodwin, 4 for 78. Marquise Lee, 5 for 65. Robert Woods last week, 6 for 45 and a touchdown. Mohamed Sanu, 3 for 34 and a touchdown. All in the last 6 weeks, those are wide receiver lines allowed by the Seahawks. Great spot for Dez Bryant. Dez has been playing pretty well. The issue for him has been targets lately. It's weird. You know, he has been targeted less without Ezekiel Elliott. He's gotten more targets with Ezekiel Elliott. So, I mean, he's not, you know, an elite fantasy play. We've acknowledged that by now, but I do think he's a good fantasy play as a wide receiver 2/3. Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams haven't been factors all season. Jason Witten, facing a Seahawks defense that has allowed the ninth fewest fantasy points to tight ends, Jason Witten hasn't reached 50 receiving yards since week 10. We can move on to the next one.
Two games on Christmas Day, both involving Pennsylvania teams. Let's start with the Antonio Brown-less Steelers in Houston to take on the Texans.
Yeah, so expecting well, first of all, the Texans' defense is just terrible. I mean, we know this by now. The Texans have given up top 15 quarterback finishes to seven of their last eight quarterbacks faced. Among them, Jacoby Brissett, Jared Goff, Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, all were top 10 fantasy quarterbacks. So great matchup for Ben. I mean, losing Antonio stinks, you know, but – I think that Ben can still rip him up. I would guess that the retractable roof at NRG Stadium will be closed, domed environment. Love Ben. You know, people might say, "Oh, he's on the road," but you know, his dome splits are excellent, so not too worried about that. Le'Veon Bell, you know, even without AB, like, even more reason to increase his usage. I don't know that you can really increase his usage too much more than it is right now, but they can line him up at wide receiver, which they do plenty. And the Texans have given up 100 or more rushing yards in 5 of their last 6 games. Over their last 4 games, 4.72 yards per carry and 7 rushing touchdowns in 4 games allowed to running backs by the Texans. Le'Veon has 20 more touches in 13 straight games. Awesome, awesome play as usual. Expecting Martavis to be like the X receiver and Juju to be the Z receiver and Eli Rogers to be the slot. No interest in Eli Rogers. Juju Smith-Schuster and Martavis Bryant are really intriguing plays here against the Texans. The Texans are just getting crushed by receivers lately. You know, we talked about Jaden Mickens, Keelan Cole, Marquise Goodwin at 6 for 106 against them. On the season, Texans have allowed the 7th most 20-plus yard pass plays and the most completions in the NFL of 40-plus yards. Juju and Martavis Bryant, both very capable of making big plays down the football field. Good thing the Steelers didn't trade Martavis Bryant, who I thought in last Sunday's game against the Patriots had his best game of the season. Against the Pats with Stephon Gilmore all over him. I mean, he was making a lot of plays, man. And, you know, he was winning on routes against the Pats. He's going to get a much easier matchup this week against the Texans. They're poor in all pass defense phases. That extends to tight ends. Jesse James, he's in play very much as a streamer. Now, I would rather for Vance McDonald to again be out, you know, as it pertains to Jesse James's streamer viability, because there have been times this year where Vance McDonald has been active for a game and he'll end up running just as many, if not more, routes than Jesse James. Jesse James will end up blocking a bunch. So we have to keep an eye on Vance McDonald's health. He's been very in and out of the lineup with a knee injury. Jesse James quietly second on the team in targets inside the 10-yard line with 8 behind only Antonio Brown. We can't underestimate how much pulling Antonio Brown out of this offense means. We have to understand how much this means. Dude leads the NFL in targets. Okay? So pulling that kind of a target monster out of this offense clears up a ton of opportunity. Someone's going to have a big game here. And it's quite possible that 2 guys do, especially considering the matchup. It's possible 3 guys do. So Jesse James is very much in play as a streamer. Texans have not been good against tight ends. I mean, they've given up the 6th most fantasy points and the 3rd most touchdowns to tight ends. I think you play the Steelers' defense here as well. The Texans, all 7 offenses to face the Texans since Deshaun Watson tore his ACL have finished as top 16 fantasy defenses on the week. 5 of them have been top 12 scorers on the week. You need the Steelers to play down to their competition. This is something that they do often do, but you need them to play down to their competition this week if you're going to be starting Lamar Miller. Because you can't have them, you know, you can't have the Texans just get blasted. I mean, last week when the Texans got blasted, Lamar Miller wound up with fewer carries than Alfred Blue. You can't have a scenario like that play out. I think that Lamar Miller is just, he's not even like a boom bust guy because it's hard to imagine him really booming. He's like a low floor, low ceiling play, and that's, those are not usually plays that I really want any part of. DeAndre Hopkins is different. TJ Yates is willing to target him heavily. And the Steelers secondary hasn't been good. They are going to get Joe Hayden back, but Joe Hayden is, you know, he's been out of commission for like over a month with a broken leg. So who knows if he's even going to get through this game? How is he going to play? Very much, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is an awesome, awesome play this week, and he will probably be too low owned because people will be worried about the quarterback situation, etc. We can move on to the next one.
It's the last one. It's Christmas night, Monday night. It's Nick Foles and the Eagles hosting Derek Carr and the Raiders.
Yeah, I have not looked into this game at all yet. I'm sorry. I could tell you that Nick Foles didn't really light it up last week as much as his fantasy production shows. But he did everything right, pretty much. He threw four red zone touchdowns, one to four different guys. I mean, Alshon got one, Trey Burton got one, Aguilar got one, and Ertz got one. So, you know, like to see that full distribution. Aguilar leads the team in targets since Foles took over. Not just last week, but just, you know, you just go back and look at all the targets that Nick Foles has thrown, all the pass attempts that he's thrown, Aguilar has the most. So I thought that was kind of notable. Raiders are, you know, they're terrible on defense. You know, they're highly exploitable. So good matchups all around, I think. Jay Ajayi's usage continued to trend upward last week in terms of his snaps played. But it was just kind of a weird game. The Eagles wound up with not a ton of time of possession, and because, I mean, they just executed every time in the red zone, and Jay Ajayi, his touches didn't go way up. Now there was a third quarter, series where he just dominated this, he set up Aguilar's touchdown, where he had a 22-yard run, and then on the very next play, he broke off 32 yards in a screen pass. And then that all set up Aguilar's TD. So he played at a pretty good level. He just did not get as many touches as I thought that he would. Kenyon Barner had a few touches. You know, LeGarrette Blount had seven. Corey Clement had five. I think that, you know, they're going to want to get Ajayi more work, but I don't know. I expected more last week. You know, on the other side, the Raiders offense is just, you know, one of the most disappointing offenses in football. I would guess that Amari Cooper is not back. Crabtree is just getting filled up with targets. I mean, he must have had six end zone targets last week. He had 17 targets in the game. And it just felt like every time they were in scoring position, they wanted to force it to him. He wound up with two TDs. Could have had more. Trying to think. Jared Cook, you know, who knows what's going to happen each week with him. I mean, it's really reached that point. I don't know. I wish that they would make Marshawn Lynch a bigger part of the offense, but that's not something that they think is a good idea, I guess. And they pay the price for that every week. I mean, they're stubborn, and they try to play spread offense, and you know that's obviously not the optimal usage for their personnel. But they're committed to it, and they're gonna go down with the sinking ship, and we can end this.
Evan, that was amazing as always. We hope as many of you as possible that are in your championships win your championships. If not, we hope those of you that elect to play daily fantasy this weekend enjoy your draft app, either on the draft app or at draft.com. Kick some butt, win some money on that snake draft as well. We love that you guys listen. We said it at the start of the show in part two here. I'll say it again. Sincerely wish all of you a very, very, very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, terrific New Year, and just know we never go away. We are year-round, and Evan is always dropping knowledge. We love strategy sessions. We love talking players in the offseason. It never, ever ends. That's why he's the best. I'm stuffed, though. After back-to-back part ones and part two, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar, because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.